listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. PGA announced this week that Phil Mickelson has withdrawn. Phil didn't even say it. Phil is out of pocket. Phil is out. He is not doing anything. Phil is like, I'm out. My name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. And so,
smart.
Yeah, it is.
For what? What's the purpose?
Well, like, he's the defending champ.
Does he need money?
He's the defending champ. Defend your title.
Nah.
You don't. This doesn't happen ever.
If I'm in Phil's side,
this never happens.
Yeah, neither does it happen where you make the comments Phil made.
Yeah.
Where people across the sport come out against.
Well, him. Did you see?
It looks like he's ducking Greg stuff, Norman, but he is ducking stuff.
Greg Norman, you know what he said about this? Because the guys who are representing this LIV,
yeah, Greg
this term,
wants us to just keep rolling.
No, well, Greg said, Greg goes, yeah, they killed the journalist. It was just it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And his loved ones were like, a mistake? And they still haven't paid. There's been no retribution. There's nothing. Nothing has happened from it. It's well known, commonly known fact. They killed him, the journalist, and nothing, no repercussions whatsoever. And Greg Norman goes, yeah, that was a mistake. Well, wow. No, a mistake is when you carry the one or you don't carry the one. That's a mistake. Killing a journalist is not a mistake. It's a horrific act. Okay. So just. This whole thing just sucks. This sucks. And then, you know, actually, and Justin Thomas came out and said, good. If you guys want to go to that, go. See ya. Bye, guys. Just go and take off.
He said, if you want to play in it, get out of
PGA
our tour.
PGA Tour said, no, you ain't playing in it. How's this? You ain't playing in it. You want to go play in it? Then you ain't going to be part of our tour.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's petty or what, but Greg Norman obviously shot back. But
I don't know that it's petty. You're trying to protect. That's like if somebody tried to start a brand new NBA. That's your livelihood they're messing with. Like, it could take away money from your tour.
Absolutely.
I would have a problem with it, too.
Absolutely. It takes away good players from you. Yeah.
Like, the NFL doesn't usually try to help out leagues that are trying to compete against them.
Well,
you know, the players might look at it as a chance to go get a different paycheck and maybe use it as leverage. But golf is not the same. This isn't a team sport. Golf's payouts are from a purse that is created through, you know, the success of the tour. So, the less successful players, the lower the ratings, the lower the purses are going to end up being as well.
Yeah.
It's not good for anybody involved.
Did you watch the FA Cup?
No, I don't. I was busy watching. Who won the FA Cup? It was
Liverpool.
Yeah, I had. Those are my rivals.
No, you don't like
them.
We
hate Liverpool.
Yeah, I was rooting for Chelsea because Bruce Davidson is a big Chelsea fan. And although it was odd, they wore yellow instead of their usual blue.
They lost the final four, right? They didn't lose in the finals.
They lost the final.
Was it Chelsea that lost the finals?
Yeah. Okay. Liverpool and Chelsea.
You know, FA Cup, by the way, is one of those things, John, just for example. So this is what, at first it made no sense to me. I'm like, why do soccer fans care about a FA Cup? Why does any Premier League, it's one of those tournaments that happens inside the season. Just like the NBA wants to have a tournament inside the season,
yeah.
A lot of people say, for what? What difference does it make? Like in soccer, the FA Cup matters. These little cups and things like these tournaments they have in season, they matter to a lot of the fans and to the teams. So that's why I'm open-minded about the NBA having an in-season tournament because I do think it will end up mattering. It may, in the grand scheme of things, I understand. We're talking about, okay, the championship is all that matters. But in soccer, I think those little victories like the FA Cup, winning something like that is a really big deal in soccer, in Premier League soccer, and English soccer, because, number one, teams play from even the teams who have been relegated have a chance to play. And it gives you a chance, if you know you're not going to win the regular season title, it gives you a chance to win this title. And that's why I think the in-season basketball tournament has a chance to become a thing, where fans can get behind their. I know it's hard for us as American fans. We don't have anything. There's nothing in American sports like this. But the FA Cup is, you know, it's something they care about in Premier League soccer.
It was a good game. I mean, it was typical. It was nil-nil. Went to penalty kicks. Actually, extra penalty kicks. It was and the typical, fan would say, what an exciting game. Nothing. That was just great. It really was. Actually, there were a lot of opportunities that were just missed. Pulisic, they were criticizing him and when he has an opportunity that he's off balance, that he doesn't. He actually did have a couple of chances that you were like, oh my goodness, he should have converted to here.
Yeah, the old off platform shot making.
Yeah,
some guys can do it and some guys can't. I mean, there is something to the skill of a striker, not just how much pace they can put on the ball, but the way that they can get to their shot, the ability to be strong with both feet, their ability to have placement wherever they want to. My team lost, so Everton was up 1-0. I was explaining this to Snacks. I'm like, so on the broadcast yesterday, they were showing highlights of the three different teams that are fighting to stay out of relegation. Two teams are going to be relegated. And I really do want relegation. I understand that the Rockets would have been relegated. The Texans might have been relegated. I just think relegation adds so much. The fans there are coming out in droves because, to Goodison Park and Everton.
Place team.
The fans for Leeds, The fans for Burnley, because they know, oh my God, this, if we go down, it's like playing in AAA for an entire year, and we got to play really well to get back into the majors. And so it's devastating. If you ever have a chance to see, it wasn't Leeds. What is the documentary about the team? It's not Leeds. I don't think it was Leeds. But anyway, this team they followed them as they were getting ready to get relegated in the Premier League. And so they followed them at the end of that season. They followed that team at the end of that season. That's where you pick up the documentary. And then Sunderland. It's called Sunderland Till I Die. Sunderland's getting ready to get relegated. The documentary starts. They pick it up there. Then they follow them throughout their time in relegation and championship. They're so bad in championship, which is the second level, they get relegated down to the very next lower level. It's a really fascinating documentary. But I think relegation, I mean, I'm hanging on the edge of my seat this entire. Everton gets two red cards. They had to play with nine players. They lose 3-2. They blew Leeds twice. And so now I've got to worry about them. Like, they've got two matches left, so I got to watch Burnley and Leeds United very carefully. I'm checking schedules. It really does create an excitement, like a scary one, an anxiety, where the lower level teams, you're fighting to stay up. I really wish basketball had. I don't think it couldn't happen in football. I don't think it could happen in baseball. I do think basketball could have some form of relegation. I just don't. But you'd almost have to have international teams get involved to play, because I don't know how you would.
I don't know how you would do it.
Who are the teams that come up?
29 teams. Yeah.
30 teams.
Yeah.
So who are the teams that come up? Like, where do they come from? You got to have them come from somewhere. You got to have players come from somewhere. So now, could it happen with the NFL? You say no, but one day, if in 20 years, if the XFL was strong enough, maybe you have a situation, or USFL, one of those, if you started having players, you'd have to have basically the league involved with making those teams stronger by allowing different practice squad players to play there. But I can just tell you, man, I'm paying close attention. Speaking of relegated, the Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks have been relegated out of the playoffs. And when we come back, we need to get into that as well as the Astros, because the Astros have – this is really getting fun to watch an Astros game and to see how long they can carry a shutout. And once you get past the fifth inning, you start realizing this could be another shutout. Six shutouts in 13 games.
When Verlander pitches, I'm waiting for a no-hitter. And when they get the first hit, I'm like,
really quietly, the bullpens are killing it right now.
Yeah.
Well, the bullpen has been unbelievable.
We'll hear from Justin Verlander on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about HR&P and what is your issue with your payroll company. If you have any issue whatsoever with your payroll company, well, then go with ours, because our payroll company is they've been perfect for us. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, with our HR issues, you call them if you have an issue with an employee and they're going to tell you, they're going to work it out for you exactly how to go about it, how they will go about it, how they'll talk to the employee. The payroll has been perfect. I mean, it's set up. Every single different business is customized because your business is different than everybody else's. And then when it comes tax time, they're perfect on that with you because they know the Affordable Care Act and exactly what you have to do. And if you're not familiar with the Affordable Care Act, it's going to cost you. And it never costs us because we're perfect with it because they have experts at HR&P. So this is – they're different. They're just awesome. You will love them. They're going to come to your business. They're going to study your business, and they're going to come up with a customized plan for you. If you're looking for if any issues whatsoever with your payroll company, or you're thinking about getting a payroll company, give them a call. 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or hrp.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You remember Josh Booty?
Yeah, quarterback.
Quarterback. There was another Booty, too. There were a couple of Booties, right? I think he had a brother that played, too. John David Booty.
JDB.
JDB.
That's a USC guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, there's a new one. And I don't know if he's any relation.
Mega?
No. General Booty.
You see that? I got RJ.
Mega Booty.
Mega Booty?
Yeah.
General Booty?
General Booty.
No way.
Yeah, Oklahoma signed him. He's a quarterback. His name is General Axel Booty.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it
is.
Are you serious?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. There's one guy that I like more than anybody. It's General Axel Booty. He was with the Confederacy for years before taking over quarterback in the Big 12.
General Axel Booty's going to Oklahoma, you said?
General Axel Booty is going to Oklahoma. He signed with OU. Congratulations.
I just feel the NIL money just dripping off of him.
I just hope he plays. And just, it's AXEL, like the deodorant.
See an Instagram where you got two girls with teabag thongs just sitting there with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the, you know, the look where you turn and you look over your shoulder. Sitting there.
Love that look.
He's like, well, there's no Oklahoma like hand sign like you have, you know, Longhorn signs or Aggies, whatever Oklahoma people do to imply that they're Sooners.
They just do horns down.
That's right. Theirs is horns down.
Yeah.
Oklahoma sign is horns down.
It's horns down.
So that's what he'll be doing. He'll be doing horns down behind these two fat booties
right
next to him. And he'll just be, and that's like, and then somebody will give him $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, Axel, that's worth $1.5 million.
Axe should. He's A-X-E-L. Axel.
You don't think somebody in the booty industry, like one of those doctors who puts implants in, should not
now
be part of that?
You can't do. You can't do any SOBs. No sexually oriented businesses can do NIL.
But booty? What about booty businesses?
Booty business.
It can lead to sexual stuff.
Yeah, you know who does? Doc Linville does some booty work.
I know he's a booty doc, too.
Yeah, he does all that work for all the ladies. Yeah, on top of giving me
what
hair.
What do you need? You need some booty? Are you suffering from pancake booty? Do you look like Jason?
I'm General Axel Booty.
Take it from me, Dr. General Axel Booty.
No, you're not a doctor.
No.
You're just a general.
Yeah.
What's actually your name? You're not even a general.
Doc Linville will give you more of this. And less pancakes,
more
of this booty, right?
It takes a booty to know a booty. Hi, I'm General Axel Booty, quarterback for Oklahoma. I know it feels like I should be at Mississippi State or Ole Miss, but I'm here at Oklahoma for now. Soon I'll be in the portal in the SEC where I belong, telling you about booty, Axel General Booty, but the other way. If you need booty, I know booty. And my guy, Dr. Linville, knows booty.
You think that's coming?
That could be. Well, we'll see if Dr.
His
Linville.
His dad is Abram Booty.
Abram Booty. Yep.
It turns out.
Well, Abram Booty.
How do you get a name like Booty? Like I've always said, like Carpenter, you know, Mike Carpenter from U of H. You understand how you got the name Carpenter.
How did Josh become, I mean, Josh was the oldest, too. How did they go from Josh, they went, okay, what's our son's name? I just want to name him Josh. Okay, huh? Melinda, whatever my wife's name is, that sounds good. What about the next one? Josh is so plain. What about, let's spark it up like John David. Well, okay, all right, it might be a little biblical. All right, John David Booty, J.D. Booty. We'll call him J.D. Booty, yep. Mm-hmm. What about now? How about General Axel Booty? Like, whoa, hey, whoa. Why are we going so crazy? Oh, you're one to talk, Abram. You've got a biblical name, too. Okay, I guess we'll go with General Axel Booty. Please tell me they got another one coming.
G.A. Booty. General Axel Booty.
There's J.D. Booty.
Let's hope there's Booty. Another one coming.
Please tell me we got more booty coming.
How about yesterday? The Reds. No hit the Pirates. The Reds are having
somebody on Twitch
compared an historically horrific season.
Yeah, and you look at this kid, Hunter Green, who was throwing a no-hitter, like he had good stuff too. This is two good games in a row for him. He took the loss. He's now 1-6 with an ERA in the sixes. The Pirates did not get a hit. They got the bases loaded thanks to walks, and then there was a ground out that would have gotten them out of the inning, but the second baseman kind of bobbled the ball in his glove when he was trying to turn two, and you had a player beat it out, turn it into a fielder's choice. 1-0. Got no hit in one. And someone on Twitch compared it.
They got no hit and won the game.
You've seen this before. You've seen something very similar happen in your time in Houston. Can you recall? It's a different sport. What is the equivalent of being no hit and winning? We've seen it happen with one of the professional teams, and you were
Texans
on the sideline.
The Texans against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Had
two defensive touchdowns.
And they had negative yards?
They had 64 total yards of offense, but when you added sacks as negative yards, I don't even know.
I think
they ended up with total negative yards, whatever it was.
Yeah. It was probably the equivalent of a no hitter. Yeah.
It was the worst.
Aaron Glenn picked up a fumble and ran it in.
I think he had two defense touchdowns in that game. It was the worst win I've ever seen in my life in football. Like a team completely no chance on offense, but the defense scored twice and beat the Steelers.
That was in 2003 or 4, whatever.
Yeah, it would have been 2003, I think.
It might have been.
So you're two of the Texans. Did you, when you were, like, from a basketball standpoint, what happens to Chris? I almost feel like I'm not sure that this felt like the year that Phoenix comes back and Phoenix gets retribution. It's to the point now where you push that. If you're Chris Paul and you've been pushing that boulder up the hill for so long, I almost feel like after the Rockets when he got injured, then the Rockets when they lost to an injured Golden State team, then last year where he lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, and now this year when he loses two straight for chances to close out the Mavericks and they lose two consecutive games, including a Game 7 at home, I almost feel like it's just not going to happen for Phoenix. Like, it's certainly not for Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul's running out of opportunity.
What if Chris Paul, not next year, but possibly the year after, goes to this was posed this morning on the show. What if he goes to another team and wins a title? We've seen plenty of guys do that. Bob McAdoo went to the Lakers. I think Jason Kidd ended up doing that.
He'd be a major. Who did Kidd win with? He lost with New Jersey. I'm trying to remember if Kidd won. Dallas?
He ended up winning.
That's right. He was he was on that Dirk team, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on the Dirk team.
Golly, how old was he?
You see? That's what I'm saying.
I mean, so is Chris Paul.
Right.
Was Kidd good on that team?
I mean, he was their starting point guard. I think.
I mean, that's good enough.
I mean, a great ton. Because Jason Terry was just talking about it on the Knuckleheads podcast, where he said, you know, Jason Kidd was one of like the leading guys besides Dirk in that playoff run.
I mean, he averaged. It wasn't 2011.
Yeah, it was 2011 finals.
It was 2011. He averaged 6.2 points a game. So.
2010-11, he averaged 7.9 a game.
Hold on. When did they win the title? Was 10-11?
11 or 12?
10-11.
10-11, he averaged 7.9. 7.9 points a game. He averaged 8.2.
Eight assists.
Assists.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 4.4 rebounds. I mean,
he played 33 minutes a game.
33 minutes a game. Shot 36% from the field.
33 minutes a game. I mean,
that ain't what we're talking about. No. That's being a starter. He did play a lot of minutes. But, man, that is a diminished Jason Kidd. Now, he was at age 37 when that happened. You look at Chris Paul, and Chris Paul is now – how old is Chris Paul right now? Chris Paul right now is 36. But Chris Paul's averaging 14.7. But, you know, this is the lowest points per game that Chris Paul has averaged in his entire career this year. It's probably headed south on him. But I say that, he led the league in assists again, 10.8 assists.
But if he goes and picks up as a reserve player, a part-time player, if he goes and picks up a title, does that end his no rings thing?
Would you hang it on the same, you know, like banister as, let's say, Gary Payton when he won it in Miami?
Yes.
Yeah.
It so it would be like the same. So it would be like, yeah, like he got it.
Yeah, but nobody ever talks about Gary Payton winning.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if
didn't
Chris
matter
Paul
if
is,
Gary Payton won a title. It matters if Chris Paul wins
I can't
title.
See okay. Chris Paul as a secondary guy who's not really. Like, to me, Chris Paul's personality, he'll be out of basketball and go manage his son's little league teams, and he'll coach or whatever he's going to do. I can't see him sticking around just trying to ring chase if he's going to be a seventh man, right. You know, coming off the bench. Like, that ain't going to happen. Chris Paul's not going to keep playing if he has to come off the bench.
Now, let's say if he doesn't win a ring. I hope he does, but let's just say he doesn't. He's towards the end of his career. Where does he rank, I guess, amongst athletes on, like, the all-time, like, didn't win a ring list?
Is he, okay.
Like,
is he better than Barkley? Is he better than Malone?
See, I don't think so because Barkley was an MVP.
I think Malone was the best, but might have been.
Karl Malone's the greatest player to win a ring, I think.
I think. Dan Marino? He's not Dan Marino.
No.
No, Chris Paul.
But, I mean, he has great numbers. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
This is what's not fair. He was never asked to be the best scorer. He was a quarterback. He's still an old school, like he is Dan Marino, because he was a quarterback who set other people up. Chris Paul's entire job has been to run a team. And his assist to turnover has been magnificent his whole career. He's really good at what he's asked to do. He's really good at what he's asked to do, but he's an old school
point
guard.
Okay, as far as point guards go, well,
here's the all-time assist leaders. All right, let me give you the top 10 all-time assist leaders. I'm going to go 1 through 10. Russell Westbrook's 11. I'm going to go 1 through 10, and you tell me how, off the top of your head, how you rank these guys all-time. Number one is John Stockton by 3,000 assists, 3,800 assists right now. Number two, Jason Kidd. Number three, Chris Paul. Four, Steve Nash, two-time MVP. Five, Mark Jackson, which is shocking to me. Six, Magic. Seven, LeBron, not a point guard, so we will throw him out. Eight, Oscar Robertson, not a point guard. So for this conversation, we're going to take him out. Isaiah Thomas, Gary Payton. So I've given you eight options. Gary Payton, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson.
Okay.
Mark
it's
Jackson,
Magic
Steve
one.
Nash. It's Magic one, Stockton two.
You think better than Paul?
I mean, 15,800 assists.
Magic one.
Magic one. Stockton two.
I could see how somebody might make an argument.
I mean, I'd have to say Chris Paul. I mean,
Chris Paul's
next. Chris Paul three.
Jason, better than Jason
now,
Kidd.
Now, John Stockton for his career.
Jason Kidd.
So here's some things to consider, though. John Stockton for his career. Now, Utah, he was a true distributor. 13. He led the league in assists for 9 straight years. He's the all-time. He averaged 10.5 assists a game. How many points a game do you think he averaged for his career?
John Stockton?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 14.
13.1. How much for the – how many teams did he play for?
Stockton?
Yep.
One.
That's right. Just the Utah Jazz. The highest he ever averaged was 17.2. Just wasn't asked to do it a whole lot. Now, how did he shoot? 51% from the field. That matters. He's setting up Karl Malone, who we just talked about, maybe the greatest player to ever have a ring. John Stockton's job, he started in the 80s when it was old school point guards. He played into the 2000s. So he always stayed the Mo Cheeks, you know. He was the old school point guard that's going to get Jeff Hornacek involved. He's going to get Corbin involved, Ty Corbin involved. He's going to get the ball where, well, not really to Mark Eaton, but got the ball to Malone. Like, he was a distributor. I think what separates him is that when he started his first 3 years in the league shooting three-pointers, and he barely shot any, he was under 200%. For his career, he shot 38.4%. That's a high three-point percentage. From a free throw line, he shot 82%. From the field, 51.5%. His assists per game, 10.5. His turnovers in his career, 2.8. But you look at Chris Paul, statistically, you can make a case for Chris Paul. Chris Paul, you could absolutely make a case for what Chris Paul has been able to do from a statistical standpoint, because John Stockton also never won one. Chris Paul averages 18.1 for his career. He's played, he's age 36 right now. Stockton started playing at age 40. Chris Paul shoots 47% from the field, 36.9 from three, and 87% from the free throw line. So not as good a shooter from the field as John Stockton, but his assists per game, 9.5, turnovers, 2.4. Similar assist-to-turnover ratio as well. So I think you can make a case for Chris Paul against John Stockton. Stockton just did it longer, but Chris Paul is still going. But what about the other guys on that list? If you say Magic is one, and you say Stockton is two, and Paul three ahead of Nash?
Yeah, Nash I think so too. And Kidd.
Nash was great in D'Antoni's system. He kind of
benefited from it. They were different guys. I mean, Nash was a scorer.
I put Mark Jackson last on that list. I'm not a Mark Jackson guy. Isaiah Thomas and Gary Payton, dude, those are really good players too. GP was a phenomenal defender. He was a phenomenal defender. He was a good point guard. Isaiah was. Does Isaiah get the love he deserves?
He doesn't.
People don't like him. No. They fundamentally saw through him as being a fraud.
Because of Michael Jordan.
Jordan certainly didn't help. Nope. And he was with the Bad Boy Pistons, who everyone hated.
932.
If you weren't a Pistons fan, you hated the Pistons. Team.
And 932 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But what's the solution? Insurance. That's the solution.
Nice. TGS Insurance. I'm not even sure where you're going on that one, but I can tell you this. My segue here is that you can make money by not spending money. That's one of the best ways to make money. For some of you out there, you say, well, I guess I'm going to have to cut this and cut this and cut this. Did you know that one of the places you can make money is simply by finding competitive homeowners insurance? Doesn't that make perfect sense? You actually have homeowners insurance that is A-rated. You fight to get the lowest rates, which is simply texting the word money to 232323. They shop a variety of A-rated insurance companies, and you get competitive rates. Like, if you stay with the same company year after year after year, they don't have to compete for your rates. They raise the rates, and you're fine. And they send you your card at Christmas, like, thank you, and everyone signs it from the office. And here you are paying too much like a dummy and when you could be saving a ton of money. The average savings is about $900 annually for people who shop their homeowners insurance. Well, TGS does it all for you, and they get you rates within 15 seconds. You don't believe me? Do it right now. Pull out your phone and text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 937 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Justin Verlander looking awesome again. His ERA, 1.38. Another wonderful performance by Justin Verlander. It's just so unbelievable to see this guy. And then all these, well, Kevin Gausman is actually pitching better, and there is a rookie from
Actually, if you look at the FIP, I saw that. If you look at Gausman's FIP, for example, I mean, people are going to see the name Verlander, and so that'll always be a factor. But Verlander actually is – but in that, by Bradley Doolittle and Schoenfeld, who did the actual article, one of them says, yeah, no, I kind of agree with Vegas.
Yeah.
How Vegas has it, which is Verlander number.
Yeah, Verlander's – I mean, come on. And Gausman's going to fall apart. Now, I did want them to get – Gausman is really good.
He can roll.
That would have been totally sweet. So Justin Verlander, 5 innings. It wasn't – I mean, he only gave up the 2 hits, but he did walk 3, and he had 5 strikeouts. 107 pitches for 5 innings is a lot for Justin Verlander. Here he is talking about his outing.
First time out in 4 days, just how was it and how were you feeling on
the body felt fine. You know, I was happy with how I felt. Obviously, would have liked to have been a little more efficient with my pitches, but, felt pretty good.
The first inning, what were you battling a little bit as the pitch count was going up?
A little bit of everything. Control being the main one, kind of like of all my pitches, really. Kind of fastball was just missing a little bit, and slider was just missing, and credit to them as well. They laid off some good pitches and made it a grind.
You use your changeup a good bit to DeSoto, at least to DeSoto off a good bit. How crucial was that pitch, especially against him?
It was big for me. Been really trying hard to work on it, and maybe found a little something in between my last start and this one, and wasn't afraid to bring in the game and try it, and had some good results with it.
That's Justin Verlander afterwards. Thank you, Brian McTaggart, for the sound. We appreciate it. What do you think Yuli's hitting right now?
Around 230.
248 he's up to.
Yeah. He'd been coming up.
How about Altuve?
Tuvi's like around 280, I think.
259.
Oh, is he?
259. Yeah. And Bregman's only hitting 235.
Yeah, Breggy, after a hot start, has cooled way down.
Siri, 227. McCormick, 229. The hottest guys in the lineup right now are Altuve and Yuli. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Jordan is always a danger. I mean, he had an 0-for-5, but goodness gracious, was he good in Minnesota, huh?
How about when you get ruined by McCormick and Machete? That's why they call him Machete.
Yeah.
You had those two guys putting it on you. You're not going to win.
No.
If McCormick and Machete are tagging you out
of
the park.
8-9 are beating you?
If they're beating you for 4 RBIs in a game, you're not going to. You especially can't beat the Astros. If Machete and McCormick go for 4 RBIs in a game, how are you going to win that game if you're the other team with the way the Astros starters and relievers are pitching?
Yeah.
You can't.
And Jordan also in the first game in Washington with the two hits at homer. A double. He is just spectacular, Jordan. You never know when. And yet, nobody. This team's average is in the 20s. I mean, as far as where they stand in the league, they're not hitting. Somebody tweeted out, how much longer is this sustainable? This offense being as up and down as it is, but the pitching being as great as it is, you can't expect 5 shutouts in 11 games. You can't expect that. You just can't. Or 6 shutouts in 13 games, whatever the case is.
6 and 13.
I think it's 6 and 13.
It's 6 and 13.
Sure. 6 and 13. You can't keep expecting this. I mean, this has got there at some point. It's got to give on the shutout thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to be a lot more consistent offensively.
This is Astros baseball.
Well,
it's who they've always been. Even with a great offense.
They won 8-0. Yes, they scored 6 before that. They scored 8 before that.
Yeah.
They scored 5 before that. 11 before that.
No, they're on a streak right now where they're hitting and scoring a bunch of runs. So they're currently in the midst of that. It's not like they're up and down inside the streak. They're putting some big numbers. Even when they're getting 5, it's 5-0, 5-0. That's a lot of runs in a game. If you could score 5 runs a game, you're going to be a really good baseball team.
Yeah. Still got that damn ice cream sandwich song in my head. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Raheel, thank you. Thank you.
Like two people. So who do you think has the best bullpen in? Oh, no, 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 no. We got to change this to 2022. And we go Major League and boom. Who do you think has the best bullpen in all of the world?
In the whole world? The Yankees.
Yep. 250. They've got 12 saves. They got a whip of 1.15. They've given up 6 home runs. They have walked 52 and struck out 134. Who's second?
The second best bullpen?
Bing bong!
Astros.
Houston Astros. 2.69 with 8 saves. Not as many saves.
They don't have that many games to save.
Their whip number is, they've given up almost identical hits. 98 hits to 97 for the Yankees. 36 earned runs to 36. The whip is both 1.15. For the bullpen, a 1.15 whip, that's pretty strong. They've given up 8 home runs to 6. They've walked only 41 and struck out 123. So, and after that comes Detroit. Those are the only 3 teams with a sub-3 ERA.
Where is Arizona's?
Terrible. 4.87.
You see their starters,
almost
though?
Almost the bottom of
their starters?
No.
Arizona starters are right up there. They are. So I mean, they've got a winning record. Down, and you know why they have a winning record?
The starters are that great.
You know why the starters are that great?
Why? Oh. No, why are you doing that?
Brent Strom.
No. Why are you putting Strom in the mix here?
He is making.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because Brent Strom's gone. And right now, the Astros are dealing in the bullpen and with starters. They got six. They got six shutouts. Why am I going to fuss about Stromy being gone? I'm glad we got rid of that bum.
What?
I mean, no offense, Strom, but, let's take a look at Stromy's bullpen now.
You just called Stromy a bum.
Let's look at Stromy's bullpen. Oh, 4.87. Oh, look at this. How many home runs have the Stromy's bullpen allowed? Oh, 14. Get that bum out of here. I'm glad Strom's gone.
Well, he don't care about the bullpen, remember?
Now we got that other guy.
Don't you remember? He never cared about the bullpen. Yeah. All he cares about is the starters.
Now look at what's happened. We got this other guy in. Terry Whitworth?
No, it's Miller and Murphy. Miller,
Murphy and Miller, which is also a bar in Portland, Maine.
They make Murphy and Miller's shoes.
Yeah, Murphy and Johnston. Yeah, that's the bullpen coaches and the pitching coach. And before you know it, we finally got a real pitching coach in who's good at getting shutouts, who's good at the bullpen being good. We finally get rid of that bum who had been cruising.
Miller and Murphy, I knew it. I was right.
Finally got rid of Brent Strom, who had been coasting on great starting pitching his whole career. Like, oh, look, I fixed just... Oh, you fixed Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You fixed Garrett Cole? Strom out of here. I never did like that guy.
You loved you some Stromy. 945 ESPN, 975 and 92.5.
I don't wish that any of my grandmas ever got divorced and that they remarried so Brent Strom could be my pawpaw. And Brent Strom's also not that old. It feels like he could be a pawpaw, but he probably wouldn't have been. Like, he's not grandma. Like, he's really more. Really, actually, that's more like my mom getting married, getting divorced, and would be marrying Brent Strom. So
yeah.
Brent Strom would be my stepdad.
Yeah.
That's actually more like
what
that'd
be totally sweet to have Brent Strom as your. You know how your wiffle ball curveball would go?
Oh, could you imagine how he changed your grip? The first year he's in, he's slamming your mom, and you got a whole new knuckle curve
whoa,
action.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what would be happening.
Wow.
If Stromy's your.
Well, yeah. But he'd
go
out back and...
Hey, here, let me go show... Here's what would happen. Brent Strom would teach you how to hold, you know, with that kind of knuckle curve action where your slider's a lot tighter. And Brent Strom's out there tightening up your spin rate. He goes, listen, I just got you this... the pitchback where you throw it into the net. You've seen those, John, and they bounce back to you. You go in there. I need to go talk to your mom about something.
Yeah.
Okay, Brent. Tell your mom I said hi, okay? Yeah, you keep on working on a lot of pitches. To tell you, come in after 300 pitches. 300 seems like a lot. No, just kind of soft toss it for the first 100. Then go medium, and then your last 100's the hard stuff. And I should be done, but I mean, I'll be out to catch you after that. But your mom's going to catch me right now. Okay, Brent, you and mom are playing catch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm going to be throwing darts.
Kind of.
So, a 947 on
I'm throwing to the backstop. Huh?
What?
I'm just saying. That's what could have happened.
Whoa!
If
whoa.
Not me, don't be if throwing somebody
them
up, else.
Don't be throwing them backstop inside, Brent. Okay. Hey,
you got to work inside.
When we
you can't be afraid to work inside.
Whoa.
Okay, Brent.
When we come back,
show you how this grip works.
Would you like new poo? Would you like new poo implanted in you if it made you younger?
What?
Young poo. We'll explain it on the other side. But right now, you, my friend.
I know that you should explain it.
Well,
after the Brent Strom, we got to clean it up.
Yeah, we definitely have to.
Clean it up
right now.
Poo.
Speaking of Miller, what about Paul Miller?
How about Paul Miller at Jack's? We were just at Jack's Grill yesterday. Me and Snacks went and grabbed some wings real quick. He had a gift card from there. I think we got it for him for Christmas. He's like, I've got my own gift card. I want you to take me after church. I want you to take me to get wings. I'm like, that's fine, but you're going to pay for mine too. No. I said, look, we're going to put it on your card and I'll give you cash for the other half. Okay. So we got some wings. We got the fries and we got out of there. We were watching. There was hockey on when we were watching there and we were getting ready for basketball. We were talking some basketball. You know, when you're at Jack's Grill, for example, they got some great backyard burgers, salmon salad. You've got shrimp Caesar. How about shrimp and bits that they have? They have chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken. You've got healthy options with grilled chicken salads or even grilled chicken sandwiches available. So many different things to choose from. A lot of comfort food items. The desserts there looked unbelievable. It's been a while since I got a dessert from Jack's Grill, but the desserts they have right now look absolutely fantastic. You got your Jack's Ritas, your beers, your soft drink fountain for the kids, and your TVs in there. You're set to go. Jack's Grill, three locations around the Houston area. Stop in and enjoy some great food, some great hospitality. Watch your sports and have a good time at Jack's Grill.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Scientists at the Quadram Institute in the University of East Anglia have provided evidence from research in mice.
East England?
Anglia. That transplanting fecal microbiota from young into old mice can reverse the hallmarks of aging in the gut, eyes, and brain. They found that gut microbes play a role in regulating detrimental effects of aging and open up the possibility of gut microbe-based therapies to combat the decline in later life. So if you inject young poo into you...
You're making it sound like... Because now DJ Lockdown says... Young Pooh hits hard. His single Dungon Dookie is number two on the charts. There's not a rapper named Young Pooh. John's making a reference to something else. So the microbes, if you take the microbes
from fecal matter.
Why not?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you probably get a shot of something.
You want Snacks' poop?
No. I don't like you saying it like that.
Well, that's what it is.
No. It's maybe comes from a rapper named Young Pooh.
It could come from one of your kids.
I don't know. Just if doctors figure something out.
Well, which one really loads up the bathroom when you go, woo!
All of the above. Oh. There's not a good choice in my house. Body two. All of them.
Oh. Arby's had to fire their manager.
Why?
He admitted to urinating at least twice in milkshake mix. In their milkshake mix. This was in Vancouver, Washington.
Did you ever work at a restaurant?
Do you want to go?
No, I don't want to go to Arby's.
In Vancouver, Washington.
Nope.
No.
No. No. I'll go to Vancouver.
Do you think
Canada.
This happens more than?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't like thinking about it. Did you ever work at a gas station?
At a gas station?
I mean, food
at
place?
A restaurant? Yes.
Matt Thomas on the air once told a story about how some girl he hated from school, like, went through a drive-thru, and he was working at a McDonald's, and I think he dropped her patty on the ground and then picked it up and said, here you go. Now this is yours now. You know how often I think that happens? Probably a ton.
Yes, more than likely. So get this.
That's why I'm really nice in fast food places and restaurants in general. I don't need any problem with it. Hey, I pretty much never complain.
No, you
can't. I do not want to send, and if I send stuff back, it's... Very congenial.
No, you can't.
You know, I'm very I'm very congenial when it comes to sending anything back, which I've almost never done.
Let me ask you this question. Would you like to find a creepy doll in your home with a note saying it killed the previous owners during some home renovations?
I'm different, yes.
You would like that?
I'd like to plant it. I'd like to be the person doing it.
You want to plant the note with the creepy doll.
I respect the comedy of the last guy doing it. I'd like to be one of those people.
If I found that in my house, that I killed the previous, I'd be done.
It wouldn't scare
Except
me.
Except I met the woman that we bought the house from. So, although she didn't have a husband, so she might have killed him. I don't know. Yeah. An Ohio man gets jail time for shipping kilos of drugs using U.S. priority mail. Do you think that's a good way to ship your drugs?
I've watched documentaries on this about the guy who, it's called, what, not Gold Flake, something that Jackie or somebody told me to watch. It's about a German kid who became the number one drug dealer, like, in the world because he was shipping stuff from the underground internet, the dark web, and he was shipping it out through regular mail. Like, he was sending ecstasy... He was sending cocaine, heroin through mail. That's how he was doing it, I think, actually.
It saves a lot, of costs,
right? I think that is how
Although postage has gone up, as opposed to having mules carry it and, you know, and worry about getting busted.
Look how much he was going and, like, mailing off 40 packages a day. He couldn't keep up with the orders. There was so many coming in, and he was trying to send it through regular mail that he just couldn't keep up with.
Oh, we're methamphetamine enthusiasts.
He's a great listen. There's somebody in there saying, you're going to go down when I give you the thumb.
Spagnola. If you missed it, listen to our reminiscence of over 25 years. We had a couple of our fun guests, Dick Harmon and Bob Spagnola. You can hear that
tomorrow?
On.
Who we got tomorrow?
Tomorrow is going to be Jeff Van Gundy at 7:15. He's in town for the Miami. I mean, he's going to be in Miami for the game, so he's got a lot to do, but he wants to come on the show. So Jeff Van Gundy is our guest tomorrow. He wanted to call in and talk a little bit about listening to the show and doing the show all these years.
That's great. And in the meantime, though, we got Craig DeSurf.
Craig DeSurf, one of my guys, somebody who I've been a big fan of for years. Craig DeSurf can make sure, and Rick Drenner and Jeff, they can all make sure that you get the best vehicles at the best prices, whatever you're looking for. Even if there's a vehicle in transit that is not in the at the dealership yet, as the supply chain continues to improve and you know, we continue to see a greater amount of supply coming into these dealerships, it's still a little slower. And what some of the companies out there are doing is using that as leverage against you, so they're raising the rates on you. With Craig DeSurf, you're never going to see a rate over sticker price, ever, ever, ever. That's not the way he does business. It's one of the reasons that people can rely on them. It's the good people out in Angleton. They would never steer you wrong, and I definitely would not steer you wrong when it comes to finding a vehicle that's going to be right for you. Right now, great 0% finance options available for you on a lot of the Buick SUV models they have in stock right now. So no matter whether it's an SUV, a pickup truck, a sedan, or a crossover vehicle, fewer and fewer sedans, by the way, out there on the roadways anymore, I promise you, you can find it at LanceZCars.com. Go to LanceZCars.com for a great trade-in value as well. LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.